Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. The New Testament stresses the permanence of a will that has been properly made. While a man is living, he has the right to change his will by either adding other stipulations or subtracting them. But when a person dies, his will is sealed forever. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. Hebrews 9:17. Hebrews 9 and other chapters in the Bible teach very plainly that God's will in the New Testament did not go into effect until Jesus died, and His will was probated on the day of Pentecost. After His will was probated, nobody, not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son Himself, could change it. God made a covenant with Abraham. That covenant had to remain in effect until God Himself changed it. Paul tells us that even human covenants cannot be broken or annulled. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereto. Galatians 3:15. We should have no difficulty understanding the illustration Paul uses to show the permanence of covenants, even human covenants. If you and I enter into an agreement or a covenant, if we are honorable people, we are going to abide by the terms of the covenant, unless there is an agreement between us that will alter the covenant. Do you believe most Americans accept that principle in business, in the professions, in politics, and in education? Are not most of us tempted at times to renege on our promises and commitments if it is to our advantage? The psalmist raised two questions. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And he answers, he who swears to his own hurt and changes not. Psalm 15:1-4. All of us have known individuals, businessmen, professional people, and even theologians who did not keep their word. Obviously, that kind of behavior is immoral. One of the tragedies of modern life is the unwillingness of nations to honor their treaties. In too many cases, the nations make treaties with no intention of keeping them. If the citizens of a country, whether the United States or any other nation, do not keep their word, how can we expect the government to keep its word? Treaties are not to be entered into lightly, just as marriage is not to be entered into lightly. But once the covenant or agreement is made, it should be kept inviolate. Paul used a human illustration in the verse I read to you from Galatians 3. Honorable human beings stick by their agreements. Their agreements are not to have conditions taken from them or added to them. The New American Standard Bible translates Galatians 3:15 as follows. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it is only a man's covenant or will or testament. Yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. What was the purpose of this illustration? Although Bible writers were concerned about men's keeping their agreements, that was not the reason the verse was written. Paul explains, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He says not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Galatians 3:16. Paul wanted all his readers to know that God made a covenant with Abraham. He said to Abraham, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Genesis 22:18. Nothing which occurred between the making of that promise and its fulfillment in Christ could have altered in any way the promise God made. The law of Moses came between the giving of the promise and its fulfillment, but that in no way changed what God had promised. Today, Christians are the beneficiaries of the covenant God made with Abraham. Thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless and keep you.